Hello, welcome to The Fat Lip, the podcast for fat people about fat people. I'm your fat host, Ash, and today we are going to talk about kids and the diet industry. So, a word of caution before we start, if hearing about children being put on diets or childhood and teen eating disorders is something that is going to harm you or set you back, you should avoid this one. Okay, so several weeks ago now, the ridiculous name of the company that was formerly Weight Watchers, introduced a new app for children called Kurbo. That's K-U-R-B-O. So Kurbo is billed as a, quote, health coaching app for kids and teens. On the website, there's a lot of mixed messages. First, that the Kurbo coaches will teach your kid that their worth is not dependent on their weight, but also that weight loss is important. They also say that their program was developed at Stanford and that scientific studies have shown that it's, quote, effective for weight loss. But then every weight loss testimonial has a star and a results not typical disclaimer. Basically, what we see here is what we've always seen with weight loss programs: convincing scientific studies, promises of effectiveness, and then fine print that proves what we all know, that these programs don't work for nearly everyone who uses them. In fact, a former finance executive for Weight Watchers once acknowledged that this was precisely the point when he said that the company is financially successful because 84% of users do not maintain their weight loss, so they have to come back and pay again. I'll leave links to a BBC piece about this in the show notes, as well as some other statistics that I'm going to be talking about. But this isn't even half the problem. A content analysis of weight loss advertising in 2001, which was prime Ash in Weight Watchers as a teen years, found that more than half of all advertising for weight loss products made use of false, unsubstantiated claims. So we know that Weight Watchers doesn't work, and Weight Watchers knows that Weight Watchers doesn't work. The difference here is that until recently, companies like this at least pretended that they were only selling these ineffective programs to adults. That doesn't negate the fact that many, many fat adults, though, were once fat children or fat teens whose family put them on these programs. I was recently hanging out with two of my fat friends, and all three of us were on Weight Watchers as kids. Three kids from very different families and socioeconomic backgrounds, but all in this program at a young age. Like, I distinctly remember the smell of the church basement where I attended meetings weekly with my grandmother. We went for several months and we shared a points binder because she couldn't afford to buy one for each of us. And every meeting began with us all lining up for weigh-ins where a cheerful thin lady would record our progress on a handwritten chart. I can still remember the quiet humiliation of taking off my shoes and stepping on the scale while a line of nervous women behind me wished out loud that they'd worn something lighter. And so many fat people have these stories. If programs like this worked for fat kids, many people I know would not be the fat adults that they are. In fact, your fat friend wrote an article last week for Self Magazine about her own childhood Weight Watchers experience. More important, though, than the effectiveness of programs like this for children is the very real concern that they contribute to the likelihood of kids developing eating disorders. A research review in the 2015 Journal of Child Psychology and Psychiatry found that the best-known environmental contributor to the development of eating disorders is the socio-cultural idealization of thinness. Kurbo's marketing images show photos of kids as young as 8 years old with their real names and the amount of weight they've lost. Focusing on weight loss is the definition of the idealization of thinness. And this is only the tip of the iceberg. In a large study of 14 to 15-year-olds, dieting was the most important predictor of developing an eating disorder. Those 14 to 15-year-olds who dieted were 5 times more likely to develop an eating disorder, and those who practiced extreme restriction were 18 times more likely to develop an eating disorder than those who did not diet. And people of marginalized identities have it even worse. transgender people experience eating disorders at a much higher rate than cisgender people, and Latinx adolescents have been found to be much more likely to suffer from bulimia than non-Latin peers. This is terrifying stuff, and it's more terrifying because eating disorders and symptoms of eating disorders are often ignored in fat people and fat kids. That restriction that is alarming in thin teens is considered a triumph for fat teens. But eating disorders are serious conditions that have serious mental and physical consequences, including death and including for fat people. Concerns about Curbo's effects on children drove NEDA, the National NEDA is the National Eating Disorder Association. They issued a statement of warning, and I'm just going to read some of the NEDA's particular concerns about Curbo for you here. One, the app treats higher weights in children as a straightforward diet and exercise issue rather than recognizing a natural diversity of sizes. Two, many factors in relation to weight are environmental and outside of a child's control. Three, there are children who do not have access to a wide variety of foods because of their economic status and geographic location. Four, teens who self-report dieting are twice as likely to become overweight as non-dieting teens, regardless of their beginning weight. Five, even if there were no concerns related to encouraging weight loss in children, there is no long-term evidence showing that weight loss can be maintained in the majority of those who lose weight. Six, the app relies on self-reporting and there is no screening to determine whether a child is at risk for suffering from an eating disorder, anorexia, atypical anorexia, bulimia, binge eating disorder, or other eating disorders before they are provided access to the meal tracking features of the app. Seven, children at the ages targeted by the app are preparing to enter puberty and are supposed to be growing. Specifically, they are supposed to gain fat. Interrupting the growth process, especially at such a critical time of development, is irresponsible. Indeed, there is evidence that it can cause irreparable harm. And then they again cite the study of 14 to 15-year-olds that found that dieting was the most important predictor of developing an eating disorder. And again, I'm going to say this again, that in that study, those 14 to 15-year-olds who dieted moderately were five times more likely to develop an eating disorder, and those who practiced extreme restriction were 18 times more likely to develop an eating disorder than those who did not diet. NEDA then closed their statement by stating, quote, "While we acknowledge the good intentions of researchers working to develop programs to keep children healthy, we must point out the serious risks associated with an app that requires kids to track everything they eat and self-report their weight and behaviors. We encourage parents who might be considering this app for their children and adolescents thinking of using it themselves to seriously consider the potential risks." And listen, I'm not a parent, but I do know what it's like to be a fat child who was constantly receiving the message that joy and success and love were privileges afforded only to thin people, and that if I wanted those things, I was going to have to earn them. That message stuck tight to me well into my late teens, that I'd have to prove I was worthy by changing and by starving and by shrinking. I learned in those Weight Watchers meetings that approval and praise was earned by a negative number on a chart. And because in programs like Weight Watchers, those negative numbers start to disappear very quickly, I learned to be ashamed of my body and how I was failing it. I chased the dream of thinness over and over again, cycling and cycling and only getting fatter. Please don't do this to your kids. Your child's weight alone means nothing about their health now or in the future, and interrupting their natural growth out of fear that they are too fat is incredibly damaging and potentially very dangerous. Let your kid be a kid and teach them that joy and success and love are for all of us, regardless of body size or characteristics or ability. Thank you to Star Crusher for the music you heard on today's show and the music you are hearing right now. To hear more, go to seestarcrusher.bandcamp.com. Thank you to our sponsor, Big Fig. I have had my Big Fig mattress for 2 years officially now, and I have never been happier with a bed. It's been 2 years of the best sleep of my life, and I have Big Fig's superior quality and support to thank for that. The Big Fig is the first mattress system to be designed from the ground up to support larger bodies. From the hybrid construction to the thermogel cooling technology to the foundation that supports 5 times the weight of the normal box springs, this bed was built for bodies like mine. And my thin husband thinks it's the best bed he's ever slept into. Go to bigfigmattress.com to learn more and use the code FATLIP at checkout for $100 off of your purchase and to let them know that I sent you. Trust the bed made for a bigger figure with Big Fig. Thank you to our Patreon patrons. The patron of the day is Shauna. Thank you, Shauna, for your support. If you would like to show your support for the show for as little as $1 an episode or $2 a month, go to patreon.com/thefatlip to learn how. Don't forget to follow The Fat Lip on social media. All those links can be found at the top of thefatlip.com. And if you've got a moment, please rate and review the pod on Apple Podcasts. The more ratings and reviews we have, the higher we rank in search engine results, and the more ears we can reach. Okay, that's all I have for you today. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.